The following Dharma talk was given by Jodi Hojin Kimmel at Zen Mountain Monastery. Hojin Sensei is head priest at the monastery and the abbess of the Zen Center of New York City. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
Arousing aspiration and protecting bodhicitta. So I've been thinking a lot about protection and protectors, protecting. There are many teachings, and particularly Shantideva and in our own Zen tradition, about quite a bit about protecting and protection. It's in our liturgy. It's beautiful to feel and experience the quality of protection and protecting. So I wondered, what is protection? What is true protection for ourselves, for the world? Why is this so emphasized? How does it happen? In one sense, there's no one to protect and nothing to protect. To see, clearly see this selfless ground of being without a fixed self. But in the realm of differences, there's good and bad. And we have everything to protect. Protection is physical, protection is mental. The basis is emptiness, and yet it arises. There are many protector beings in the Buddhist tradition, some quite wrathful. Teeth and fangs, we need that wrathful energy to put an end to something, to protect something. Claws bearing. We can find that in ourselves. How a mother might protect her child. Jizo Bodhisattvas protecting travelers, women, pregnant women, children. Protector beings at every turn in this monastery and at the temple. Buddhas and bodhisattvas, Fudo Myo by the kitchen, protecting the hearth of the kitchen. Fudo, dogs at the front door, small but mighty. Watch it. Protecting this temple. There's two dragons. One that greets you at the front door with a pearl, with a jewel. There's elephants, lions, Bodhidharma's watchful eyes and admonitions, ancestor images, maybe people even sitting next to you, protectors. So we did this new land deity chant. We invoked earth protecting divine beings. Wow. Do you feel them? Look. We express deep reverence for all guardians of the earth, human and beyond human, sentient and insentient, and are inspired by their myriad virtues. As we dedicate offerings to beings everywhere, we pray for their protection and for the fruition of their beneficial actions. Hokuryu Zaizenjin, O protector of this temple, to the guardians of its buildings and grounds, to all protectors of the Dharma, and their relations through all space and time. We dedicate these merits to the 16 guardians and to all protectors of the Dharma. Protection, protection, protection everywhere. Does the Dharma need protection? The Dharma's fine, I think. People practice the Dharma, are engaged in the Dharma. We need protection. We know, I think all of us know, the many unskillful, unexamined desires, strong attachments, and tendencies that cause us trouble, that create harm to ourselves, to others. So we definitely need protection in guiding our mind and actions, our alertness, and our goodwill. Shantideva writes, those who wish to make progress in the trainings should be very attentive to guarding their minds. For if they do not practice protecting the mind, they will not be able to complete the trainings. Guarding our mind to protect us from ourselves and from our own lack of skill, as we may be developing skills. We practice protecting the mind. This is why all of Buddhist teachings, it said, are considered to be protective. They're part of our refuge to protect us from ourselves, from our own lack of skill as it's developing. So in a sense, as soon as we turn towards practice, are inspired by it, engage it, we enter a protector spirit. As soon as we do that. I had a moment with our electrician at the temple in the basement. We were looking at the new breaker system. And then he turns to me and says, what is this Zen thing going on here? What do you do here? And I said, do you know Buddhism? He said, no. He said, but I meditated once. I was like, yeah, that's it. He goes, it was really hard. It was really hard. He said, my mind was all over the place. And I was like, wow, you are so alert. Kind of looked at me. And then he said, what I really value most is being honest and kind. And then he got teary. He said, I just want to protect that in myself. And I was just like, did he just say that? He did. He says, it's hard. He said, there's this strong force to want to cheat and be unkind. That's not what I know to be true. I said, thank you very much. There he is, protecting his virtues, his treasures, his actions. That's what he wants. In Shantideva's Way of the Bodhisattva, maybe you noticed the many verses about protection. May I be a protector for those who are without protection, a guide for travelers. May I be a bridge, a boat, a ship for all to cross the water. May I be doctor, nurse, and medicine for sick beings in the world. May I be the medicine they need until everyone is healed. May I provide for the lost and destitute everything they need through the night to guide them. And may this life that I've received liberate the world. May even acts of harm help the violent to awaken. And may they come to know each and every joy and be free from pain. that kind of protection. All the extreme, unbearable, evil actions committed by me, an evil person, polluted by my faults, I confess before the deliverers, the enlightened beings. But I might die before I purify all my negativities. Oh, please protect me so that I may surely and swiftly be freed from them. Of what help will my companions be when I'm seized by the messengers of the Lord of Death? At that time, only merit will protect me, but upon that I have not relied. O protectors, oblivious to the dangers such as these, I, who am devoid of conscientiousness, have committed many negative actions for the sake of this transient life. Terrified is the person who today is led away to the place where his limbs will be torn from his body. So what need is there to mention the terrible despair I shall experience when stricken by great panic? I am seized by the physical apparitions of the terrifying messengers of the Lord of Death. Who will grant me real protection from this terror? Petrified, with wide bulging eyes, I shall search for refuge in all directions. It's got to be strong, so we get it. But seeing no refuge anywhere, I shall become utterly dejected. If I cannot find refuge there, what shall I do at that time? Therefore, today, tonight, I go for refuge to the conqueror Buddhas who protect living beings, who seek to give refuge to all living beings, and who, with their great strength, eradicate all fear. Likewise, I sincerely go for refuge to the Dharma they have realized, which dispels the fears of samsara, and to the assembly of bodhisattvas. To Protector Avalokiteshvara, O please protect me, an evildoer, seeking refuge from my heart, I pray to all the compassionate protectors. Namu. Ooh. With my palms pressed together and my mind fearful of suffering, prostrating myself again and again, I confess them all before the protectors. Here we are, facing the altar of our mind, with Buddha, Prajnaparamita, Kanan Bodhisattva, face to face. Protection, the Gatha of Atonement, the four Bodhisattva vows. Really, all of our training, if we look at it, is protecting what is good to help us develop the skill to change our neuropathways in our mind. If we look at the the precautions. Protect silence. It's all about protection. They're not rules, they're protections. Protect silence. Protect your eyes that they don't get carried away. Lower them. It's helpful. It's skillful. Stay collected. Schedule. To protect us from wandering, from getting lost, where to be. Makes it clear what it is time for. That protects us, that we know what it's time for. Orioki, protecting our alertness and how we're nourished constantly. how we have enough, protecting the right amount, that we're cared for to satisfy our hunger. All the Buddhist teachings are considered to be protections. We maintain and protect and safeguard the precepts and the bodhisattva vows. They're not to prohibit us from doing certain things, but perhaps reminding us not to do things that might cause harm, that we might regret. We're not agreeing to a fixed set of beliefs, but it's more living in harmony, in our embodiment, like our whole being wants to get there and live in harmony without a fixed self. Just like a hawk soaring over a field clearly sees in detail what's happening on the ground. That's the precepts. Precepts give us a spacious view of our own lives and the impact on the ground. They are protective shelters, allowing us to feel peaceful and in practice, cultivate an appropriate sense of shame, atone frequently, and shift our way of acting at any given time, all in order to continually uplift our aspiration. And then in the Jokai ceremony, we're asked three times, and other ceremonies, will you maintain this? I will. Will you maintain this? I will. Will you really protect this? I will. These 16 precepts that have been handed down since the time of Shakyamuni Buddha to our teachers that are given freely. Will you maintain them well? Fusatsu is a ceremony that goes back to the time of the Buddha. It was Buddha's protection for the community, a renewal of vows with each other, a renewal of the precepts. It's often translated as continuous good, wholesome practice, or to stop unwholesome action, unwholesome karma, a ceremony that aligns us with the path of the Buddha, making fresh a rededication to living in accord with our own undefiled, unperturbed original nature. We're quite wild. I love the Ango theme, going straight on an ever-twisting path. How are we ever able to go straight on an ever-twisting path? Not separate from meeting the twisting. This is what the Gatha of Atonement brings us into. To go straight, we need to see what's twisted. To be generous, we need to see where we're not, where I'm stingy. We need to meet greedy to be generous. I need to meet greedy to see my experienced generosity, to meet our impatience and our impulses. We find patience. So in the Gatha of Atonement, we acknowledge, sometimes it's translated as all twisted karma, all evil karma, all harmful karma, but I'll use the twist. all twisted karma ever committed by me. So the attention is without question turned to ourselves, right? Committed by me, right here. Since of old, on account of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance, do we really know where anything actually began? Right? It's beginningless. It's unfathomable. So we take all of it. We atone. We are not separate from all of it. Back throughout time, wherever separation has been committed by me. This separation can be between ourself and ourself, between ourself and another, separation from the earth, from anything. And this is born from three places. Born from my body, my actions, and my speech. That's where it's born. The words that I use, and my thoughts, and my body, my consciousness. I atone, and I am not separate from it all. And when we're not looking at that from afar, when we're actually feeling that response ability, response able, letting it fully be present, where's the twist? We're saying yes to the whole of it with reverence and humility, healing backwards and forwards right now. In that, yes, all harmful, twisted karma ever committed by me that I know about and that I don't know about. Just letting that all in. We vow again and again to save with openness and vulnerability. We accept the twisted karma. A few weeks ago, I was asked in Daisan something like this. With all the forces out there in the world, with people willing to kill in order to maintain their power and wealth, with all that needs our attention, how can we sit here with our eyes lowered? And maybe you have wondered this too. For one thing, we keep our eyes lowered, not closed. So we're not shutting the world out. They're just lowered. It's an inward gaze. We soften the eyes. You can see everything, actually, if you just lower your gaze. You can see the whole room. And for another, how can we not sit here and train our mind, given this is where all the dangers emerge? How can we not do it? Where else are we going to find the strength to maintain and keep our goodness and protect the nourishment that we need? This has to come from within. It has to come from within. Our goodness needs to be something independent of whether people, situations are good or bad or otherwise, because to be dependable. So I wondered this in myself. Can I depend on my goodness? Maybe I can't depend on my goodness. That there are and will be situations that I don't know if I will always be kind or compassionate. I don't have to go too far. There are simple encounters now where that's challenged. So I see it. And if our mind's nutrition is outside, there can always be a point where it feels like our food source is being threatened and we're going to want to fight back. Like if our happiness, our goodness depends on things outside, our determination to not harm anyone, not to engage in violence, can also be threatened from within. But if our happiness base is secure within, our goodness is secure, protected. Because what do we have as our treasures in our life? Our own actions. That's it. The material things we have, the relationships, those are not really ours. We have them for a while. We take really good care of them and appreciate them for a while, but then we get separated. Our actions continue to reverberate. As Buddha taught, all things fabricated, all things conditioned are in constant changing, shifting, unfixed. They're stressful, not self. So Zazen is where we can find home, come home to a home that we find that unhindered worth inside. Find a goodness that's impenetrable, can't be taken away, safe and sound, really dependable. Nobody can touch it. It's a reliable refuge. Dido always emphatically said, really trust yourself. Can you hear him? And once we have this connection, we're safe. We can go into the world and deal with untrustworthy situations, untrustworthy people, knowing they can't touch what's valuable inside our actions. We need our goodness, our mind of aspiration guarded for the benefit of others as well as ourself, to strengthen bodhicitta, because it is the beginning point of learning how to be trustworthy in our dealings with everybody. Having the Buddha nature means every single thing is worthy of our reverence and recognition. If we realize everyone is going to be affected by our actions, we want to make sure that our impact is not so harmful. Only then are we safe. This is why Buddhist teachings are considered protections. They're part of the refuge to protect us from ourselves, from our own lack of skill. We take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, not in hopes that something's going to come down and save us, because they're primo examples. All the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, ancestors we can think of and the examples they set. As we chanted, be one with the past seven Buddhas. Shakyamuni Avalokiteshvara Manjushri, the future Buddha Maitreya, and so on. We can think of all the hardships that the Buddha went through in order to find awakening. the standards of the Dharma he left behind that inspire us to find protection in those very standards, to follow his example. So, is this practice of sitting here with our eyes lowered, training our mind, a selfish thing? I'll end with a passage in the canon where King Pasenadi comes to see the Buddha. King Pasenadi of Kosala. Actually, he wasn't a follower of the Buddha till later, but his wife was. She was following the Buddha's teachings. But he supported the Buddha and the community. And so he kind of starts out totally clueless, but he begins to spend time with the Buddha and gains faith in his teaching and starts thinking about the Dharma on his own. And he would come to the Buddha every now and then and report something like, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I realized such and such, whatever the issue was, and he would ask the Buddha for counsel. And at one point, Pasenadi tells the Buddha that he suddenly realized that people who spend all their time building up armies aren't really protecting themselves. As long as they're still acting on greed, anger, and delusion, they leave themselves wide open for suffering. And Buddha says, yes, that's right. Armies are not a protection. Your good karma is your protection. Your good thoughts, your good words, your good deeds, those are your protection. Protection against yourself, your own unskillful habits, and protection against unskillful habits of other people. Don't ever let yourself be swayed from this practice. And I will add that everything we gain, let us joyfully surrender.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.